Good Friday morning, everybody, and welcome to our Community Corner here on KKWC. Well, today it's our privilege to welcome, I'd say a kind of friend in a way we've kind of missed for the last few years. He's back in Webster City talking with Daniel Ortiz Hernandez, who is our city administrator here in Webster City. Started his duties just this past Monday on the 27th, and things slowly getting back to normal in Webster City after a very successful ragby. Daniel, welcome back to Webster City.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me back.
Well, this was quite the... How can you say baptism in fire as we had ragby the other day?
Yeah, just a second day back, and all our staff was in full swing getting ready for ragby, and it was a great success.
Yes, it was. And, of course, we had the fair that wrapped up the day before, and then you started on duty on the 26th. Yeah. So how's the job so far since you're back?
Well, aside from ragby, it's been going great so far. Just been getting reacquainted with people and getting caught up and up to speed on where the city stands on various projects and initiatives. So I spent the last few days and going to continue here in the next couple of days just getting in touch with staff on operations and key projects that are in the works and long-term, where things are headed.
Now, you were city manager from when to when, Daniel?
I was from 2016 to 2018.
And then you move back to your native California.
Correct. We moved back to California after both my wife Rachel and I. We each had lost a grandparent, and we had two little kids at the time. They were 2 and 1 years old, and so there was just an opportunity that brought us back to give them the opportunity to spend time with their grandparents and their relatives while they were still in relative good health. They're still fortunately in good health, but those last 3 years we spent out there, can't be replaced, and we really cherish and appreciate the time we've had for them to spend time with our family and grandparents while they were in those early formative years.
Yeah, I know the big question is, why did you want to come back to Webster City?
You know, my wife and I, we really enjoyed the Midwest, and we really specifically enjoyed Webster City. When we were here, we really felt at home, we felt at ease, and we knew as moving back, and we realized how we wanted to raise our kids and what we wanted for them and the type of values and the community we want to be in. Webster City really represented that, and so we were fortunate that, I was contacted and the opportunity arose for us to come back, and it was a bit of a no-brainer for us and glad everything worked out.
Big difference between California and the Midwest, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you're back here in Webster City. Now, as you started this week, we got a city council meeting coming up on Monday night. Are you excited about doing a city council meeting again?
Yeah. I think, and certainly there's been a lot going on with the city in terms of COVID and how they've done council meetings, and so... So looking forward to getting back in that seat and back in the council meeting discussions.
But while you were in California, when you got the job opportunity, did you watch some of the city council meetings via YouTube or through Zoom?
There were a few. I think, I kept in touch with a number of people, friends and colleagues that we kept in touch with and just maintained those friendships. So, I follow a little bit in terms of what has gone on, and definitely more recently as the opportunity arose. But, right now getting to understand the more intricate details of, what's gone on in the past year and a half.
And we were talking off air just a few moments ago. I think one of the big challenges now, we have the water rates here in Webster City that seemed kind of a jump as of late, and also sewer rates too.
Yeah, that's correct. I knew that was going to be done hopefully before I came back. It was something that was in the works even when I was here back then. The wastewater plant was something that we had started to look at and understood that we would need to look at either expanding or building a new plant as we kind of move forward in the assessment and the analysis of what it would take. Realized at that time that we wouldn't be able to expand on the existing wastewater plant site for a number of reasons. One would be, the big factor is its location. Its proximity to residential areas that and DNR limited how close a wastewater plant could be. The other part of it was the age of the existing infrastructure there, and the bigger factor was the floodplain that surrounds that. And you're really, the current wastewater plant sits in an island in essence, and so trying to add or expand, you're going to run into that issue and frankly just not be able to do so. And so I understand that, it seems that the I guess the volume that the city needs to be able to process, you know, continues to be the same. And then moving forward into the future, just the plant itself, in order to continue to meet both the state and the federal guidelines and requirements for treating wastewater, you know, the current plant just is going to be either, you know, too expensive to be able to do and or just impossible just because of its location and its size.
Other than the wastewater treatment plant issue there, Daniel, we have work that continues on in the west part of Webster City with the Second Street renovation project. And I've spoken with John Hawkins a couple of times. It's going to feel like old home time when you're with Mayor Hawkins.
Yeah, that's correct. Certainly, I think, and with all the council, I think all the council is the same with the exception of one, with Caitlin Hartman, and you know, really getting caught up to speed and talking with them. I've sat down with mm-hmm. and talked to them with most of them now, just to re-engage with them. And yeah, a lot of the projects kind of had started in the early conversations when I was here, and you know, some of them are in the works right now, and others have been completed. So that's been great to see.
Where are we at on that project? Have you?
I've gotten just a brief update. I know they're still working on that, but I don't have a specific details off the top of my head right now.
Mm-hmm. And that should be completed by the end of, right around late October, I believe.
I believe that's the timeline they're shooting for, definitely this fall, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I know it's another headache, like it was, well, you were in California last year, but it was just kind of a pain in a way for motorists from over by near the flower cart in Webster City, by Prospect Street, all the way to Beach Street, so it was kind of a headache. But
yeah,
things will get better by next year.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, and it's been remarkable to see just the entire Second Street being done. I remember when I first came on board back in 2016, we were in the middle of just wrapping up the east side of Second Street. You know, everything from the downtown out to Mary Ann's and Tassler's, we did that road. So yep. It just seems that Second Street has been under construction for pretty much the better part of the last 5-7 years. And so, but, you know, it's going to be new infrastructure. It's going to be a new road that looking forward to lasting for a very long time.
What other things are we going to see down the road? What would you like to see now as you're back in the chair as a city manager, city administrator?
Well, and I think, you know, certainly want to spend the next few weeks or few months, you know, getting an understanding of where things are at for priority. I look forward. I know the council has done and continue to do the council goal setting and priority sessions as a strategic planning format, you know, to really understand where the council stands, as well as to, you know, assess what are the strategic priorities for the community. And there are many. I mean, you know, part of the reason why we've done a lot of infrastructure improvements is because we do have a significant number of aging infrastructure. You know, we're talking not only the wastewater plant, but, you know, our sewer mains, our water lines. You know, we've experienced a lot of water main breaks over the years. You know, just this past summer, as I've been back, you know, watching and seeing some of the water main breaks that we've had, a lot of that is indicative of just the age of the infrastructure and the investment that's going to be needed moving forward. So really understanding what the condition of our existing infrastructure and laying a plan and a capital improvement plan to upgrade or replace or repair those as needed. You know, the other part of it, too, is certainly what are going to be the community's needs. You know, a big topic of conversation right now that's being had in the community is what's going on with daycare. I mean,
yep.
We have Webster City Daycare. We have Riverview. Even when I was here, you know, back in 2016 and 18, I have two little kids. And so, you know, I dealt with the need for daycare as well. And so it's a crucial need for our community, especially for our workforce as parents, you know, return to the workforce or continue in the workforce, being able to have the availability of daycare for their needs. So I know there's a parent meeting that's coming up, I believe tomorrow, the Webster City Daycare, to address information and concerns there. And it's something that the council is going to be discussing, hopefully on Monday, August 9th, during a work session between both boards to really discuss about what are the needs of both daycares, what's the future for the community, for resources, daycare needs, because it's really going to be a crucial part. And lastly, I think the other big part for me as a city manager is within our organization, our internal needs, looking at what the future is going to bring. Especially with succession planning as well as resources and training, you know, we're in the same boat as many both public and private entities that are struggling with workforce. We've seen our application numbers for open positions to be smaller than what they were in the past. And so I think we're going to continue to see that to a certain extent, at least during the foreseeable future while we navigate this COVID times and we're really looking at what long term, we need to start planning for as we have a growing organization or growing needs within the community. They're going to add additional requirements on the city and the organization.
How about the law enforcement here in Webster City? Is that going to be addressed in the coming months?
Haven't had a chance to touch base in detail with some of those needs, both with police and fire. As my understanding right now, we have a full complement of police officers in place right now, so look forward to engaging more. Haven't heard as much details on issues related to that as of yet. You know, we do have needs on the fire department side for equipment, no different than we have for infrastructure needs elsewhere in the city. But we do have a couple pieces of equipment, fire engines that are fairly old. We need to start looking at replacing. They probably, some of them should have been replaced in the last few years. But trying to identify how best to fund that and be able to support both the public safety needs along with all the other needs that the city's operation needs to be able to fulfill is going to be crucial.
Now, it's hard to believe you have to replace a fire engine because, you know, these are not Fords, Chevrolets, or Chryslers. We're talking big engines right here.
Yeah, we're talking
a whole lot of money for that.
Yeah, you're talking both, you know, certainly, you know, a pumper truck can be in excess of $600,000, sometimes $700,000 or $800,000.
Yep.
They can push $1 million depending on what features or equipment you're going to need. Tanker trucks are right up there, and really, we haven't even talked equipping them, you know, the hoses and all the equipment that are going to be needed in that. So really looking at what's going to be the strategic direction and if financial resources are available for us to pursue.
What about bringing more businesses to Webster City? What are you looking at that?
You know, we're going to be probably looking at that during the strategic planning process, I imagine, with the council. It's always been at the forefront for the city in terms of how to attract new businesses as well as be able to support the existing businesses. Workforce is a big factor for them. I mean, it's been amazing as I've come back, you know, no different than many other places in the country, but, you know, it's somewhat shocking for me just the number of help wanted signs throughout the community that are needed. I mean, there's definitely a workforce need and shortage in some regards. And that's a big part of economic development, attracting new businesses. The other part of new businesses is the availability of land and the availability of infrastructure. You know, where do we have water mains, sewer lines, electric lines, where businesses can be able to relocate and have those services available for them to expand. And as we look at what the existing areas that are already developed, there are only about a handful of sites that are readily available. Some of them tend to be smaller, so as we I remember in the past, as we've marketed the community to businesses, both mid-size and large-size, space was an issue, as well as the availability of utilities to make it a shovel-ready site for them to be able to come in and minimize the time it will take for them to develop.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're seeing some exciting things going on in Webster City. You mentioned we're planning this wastewater treatment plant down the road. We have another tractor dealership coming to Webster City.
John Deere.
And also, that's a firm out of Woolstock. It's coming down here to Webster City, just right off the south end of town. And also some other businesses. We have this fish farm that's being, they're working on that right now, where Electrolux used to be, one of the Electrolux plants.
Right, right. That shrimp farm,
yeah.
Where Vera Blue used to be at.
Right,
yeah.
Where Vera Blue was. That's a company out of Texas that's doing that. And some other good things down the road in Webster City. So from what you're seeing, looks pretty promising.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of promise in the community, a lot of excitement. Glad to be back and really look forward to kind of seeing some of these projects and some of these initiatives to fruition.
Of course, you said we have a city council meeting Monday evening. Any sneak peek on what we can expect for Monday there, Daniel?
Oh, I'm trying to think on what was on the agenda, but nothing
too earth-shattering at this point.
No, yeah, nothing too earth-shattering at this point, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably just take it easy for August. Of course, people will be away and so forth, and then kind of back to a busy, busy time once September rolls around.
That's correct.
All right. But Daniel Ortiz Hernandez, welcome back to Webster City.
Thank you very much.
And we will have you on from time to time doing a show like this about what's happening in Webster City and so forth.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel. Dan Ortiz Hernandez on the Friday edition of our Community Corner. I'm Pat Powers.